Hey listeners, just a quick PSA to let you know that our shows will be now dropping on Wednesdays instead of the Mondays, so please don't be alarmed that if you wake up on Monday wanting to listen to us that we're not there. You will have to wait until Wednesdays throughout the off-season, where we will be dropping on your normal places where to find us, iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud, so check us out on Wednesday. Thanks.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett. We were going to bring you the You Suck show this week, but we found out that there is a hell of a lot more material to put into the show, so we're just going to take the extra week to pile it all into the show, but we've bumped up the Black Bookers, those players where we're just jotting in our journal, write it now, for next season, who we think will either break out, get a role change, or maybe traded to a team where they get that fantasy score bump. And as always on the show, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm pumped, Jono. Absolutely pumped. NFL season kicks off when people will be listening to this. The Colts have probably already 0-1, so I'm really pumped about that and fired up for a big season. But, man, the finals. Whew, crazy. Crazy stuff.
Very crazy. Some good games on the weekend there. Who would have thought Sydney would have shat the bed so quickly?
Yeah, unbelievable. It's and it's just fandom. Isn't fandom great? Just people punching up other people and calling everyone you know what's for booing and all this sort of thing. I hate fandom. Fandom is one of my most I can't tolerate things. It's too much.
Certainly is. And he's looking there. He looks like he's like George Costanza in a velvet tracksuit there on his couch, cuddled up there. It is the Statesman. He's feeling good about himself. Looks like a new haircut too. How you doing?
I'm very well. Looking forward to presenting my You Suck content for the next year, whilst Jono will be working hard on selling you why Tom Mitchell should be considered a black booker.
Who is very this? Underrated, Tom Mitchell. Very underrated.
And as soon as you said the George Costanza, all I could think of was his ringtone, the answering machine. Cannot believe that George isn't home. Anyway.
Please leave a message at the beep.
That's it.
And he was at the footy on
Where
Friday night.
Where could he be? Sorry.
He was at the footy on Friday night watching his beloved Cats getting absolutely devoured. And the Fox Footy Boys giving him no love as the third McLaughlin, but we give him a lot of love here. We welcome you, Cam.
Yeah, g'day, guys. It was a rough night on Friday night, but I turned it round on the weekend. I found a supplier that produces the yellow chicken salt.
Oh.
And so now I've got a big can of it at home.
Wow.
Nice and tasty, just for your own. Yeah, it's a great weekend.
Hashtag winning.
Yep.
Hashtag gets us some quality gentlemen. I can understand getting some pink salt. I can understand that. That's trendy. That's in. That's happening. But other than that, it should just be rock salt. It's like saying, well, do I have a Pinot or do I have a green ginger ale? That's the difference, gentlemen. Get to the quality rock salt it is.
No. Chicken salt all the way.
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to come back with there is I'd probably put the chicken salt in your Pinot, probably to make it taste better.
I'd fill it in salad.
Anyone else get the feeling the Statesman's three sheets here?
I think so. Look at him. He's actually very comfortable at the moment.
I've had three sips of a Pinot, so they're, yeah, probably right.
From the third bottle.
Yeah. Counting the sips, not the bottles.
We are talking our black bookers today, those players who we think might get a bit of a bump, whether it's a trade, a role change, or anything in between. And I'm going to kick it off with Trent Dumont, who is quickly becoming my boy. Really like the way he's gone about his football this year. He only averaged 82 in AFL Fantasy and 83 Supercoach, but he did show in a couple of games this year where he could actually score and showed that he's got a massive ceiling. He went 162 and 139 in the final round against the Saints and destroyed the Brisbane Lions as well. One of those games was with Sean Higgins and one without. He's a bit of a slow burner. He'll be turning 24 next year. Sean Higgins is over 30 now, and Trent Dumont is ready-made for that role in the next year or two. If Sean Higgins does start to slow down, Sean Higgins can move to that forward line where he's playing that Zeeble-type role, and Trent Dumont just slides in to take that similar role and watch him average over 100 in the coming years. One thing we love here on the Draft Doctors is players who win their own ball. Trent Dumont certainly does that. Gets involved in the score involvements, especially in Supercoach, where that's massive points there. Had over 100 score involvements this year as well. All his stats were up this year, which shows he's getting plenty of the ball. And as a young developing midfielder, it just shows that scores are going to be there in the next couple of years.
I'll take the first crack. My big concern is that Trent Dumont has moved to a completely outside role. And if North are targeting players like Gaff and Pollock, that must be horrible news for Trent Dumont. Like, I sort of had him as a sleeper a couple of years ago. I saw the same things you do, Jono, but that can't be good news if they're looking to bring in high-end outside players like that. When they've got young guys coming through on the inside like Ahern and Anderson, and you know, Cunnington's not going anywhere either. So I feel you, but those are my concerns.
Yeah, my concerns, just to tag onto that. I had him as a sleeper a couple of years ago as well, but I've always found him to be really lazy. Like, he sort of gives up halfway through games, and he fades in and out through quarters, and just his intensity. He pulls an Ablett every now and then. Players just run around him, and he just sort of sits there and looks at him. Frustrates me a little bit.
I've had owned him a few times, and to be fair, I probably got sick of him too, Cam, and have shared him away. And he's always been that extra on a trade. He's never been the sales package. So I've never been convinced, and at 23 years of age, already going 24, I reckon you've made your mark at that age as a midfielder. Like Steve said, my first concern is how many midfielders North are bringing in at the young age, but also at the top end quality, because I think that's what they need to fix, and where does that leave him? But my biggest criticism out of this selection is it's safe, Jono. Why don't you take a risk? We like doing shows like You Suck. We just all play safe cards.
My next pick is very risky. Wait till my next pick. Very risky.
Oh, that is very safe, buddy. Come on. Okay, that's it.
Cam, what have you got there for your Black Bookers, mate?
So this is my first Black Booker show, but I've gone for a bit of a theme. I've gone for 26-year-olds likely to move to the Gold Coast for more mid-time.
Half for the AFL, then.
Both my picks. So George Hall and Smith is my first one. So as a Cats fan, I'm big on George Hall and Smith. He cops a lot of... He's probably one of the more unlucky players in the AFL. He's been a victim of too much quality at the Cats. He was brought in 2010, and he was supposed to be that sort of changing of the guard player from that golden era. And unfortunately, then they just kept on bringing in more talent, and he just dropped off and dropped off and dropped off. In 2014, he had an awesome run. He played most of the season, and I think he dropped a couple of tons in all formats there as well. But, I mean, the main things that I like, he's 26, so he's the right age for me. He can either break out or he can die off into the night, and I'm banking on him to break out. He's an inside mid, finds his own ball, dishes it off confidently, and he likes kicking, so that's brilliant. Should be a guaranteed start at the Suns, and he can push forward and kick goals. We saw him kick one after the siren this year, and it was to clinch the game for the Cats.
Yeah, I'll be honest, my response here is, while you've got a couple of key players out of the Australian cricket team, the man that's got the best name for cricket should be playing that sport, not ours.
Yeah, I don't mind JHS. I sort of had my eye on him a couple of years ago before they brought Dangerfield across. Like, I see the same things, the inside traits, but the inside mids is kind of a dime a dozen in a lot of ways. And I know the second player you're going to talk about, so I'm not sure the Gold Coast is the right spot for GHS, Bloody hell, it sounds like the stadium he plays in. I don't know. He's getting a bit long in the tooth to break out. But yes, I agree. If he moves to the right spot, let's say Lachie Neale leaves Fremantle and he goes there or he goes to Carlton, yes, I might have my eye on him, but it's from a distance.
Where else can he play besides the inside mid?
He plays the half forward role, right? But
Luke Dalhouse says hi.
Yeah, well, he won't be there, right? He'll be at he won't be at the Cats.
Could it be lost to the AFL this year?
Do you think he'll be delisted?
Yeah.
No, I think he'll get picked up. He's quality. It's more that at the Suns, I think it's a bit of a furphy to think that the Suns have an established mid. I mean, to be fair, they came second last this year. It's not like they're travelling too well. And so while there's names like Took and Fiorini and a few others, I reckon they could pick up two or three players this year and will probably still be a walk-in starter.
I just wonder who will trade for a player like that. And that's probably the biggest question. And there's so many players that I've seen delisted from the AFL system going, God, I'm surprised that they're delisted. But an inside mid, there's a lot of them around. I just wonder where the opportunities are going to come from.
Would it be part of the Steak Knives deal for someone to Carlton, maybe?
Yeah, I reckon he'd just be a delisted free agent. Like that, he's getting picked up. You've got to turn over some players. So it's...
Yep.
And as far as Carlton goes, I feel like they've had enough of extra long players with Billy Smets and Darcy Lang the last couple of years.
Smetty!
Well, Henderson and Tui going the other way.
I have a Smetty reference in a while. That's ripping stuff.
Was highly rated.
Steve, who's your first black booker there, mate?
Yeah, well, it's actually probably doesn't look as great after he fired up in a final the other night, but I want to talk about Braden Sire from Collingwood, and I really like the chops on this guy, and last night I was sitting there at the RSL, told my mate to have a watch, and he duly delivered with just quietly 26 disposals, 17 in his first ever final from 67% time on ground, and I just want to run you through these numbers. Let's talk about 13 games in your debut season, 67% time on ground, 19 touches, 9.5 contested possessions, 4.8 tackles, 4 clearances, 1.5 centre clearances for 69 Dream Team and 70 Super Coach. No tons in that, and that's why I think it's under the radar. Oh, whose stats were they? Clayton Oliver's first year. So Braden Sire has actually done the same, everything exactly the same from a fraction less time on ground with one tackle more. And the thing with Clayton Oliver was I thought it was really hard for him to break into that midfield. Like, I really didn't see the opportunity. And I think sometimes clubs will create the opportunity. Like, Pendlebury's getting long in the tooth. He was horrible on the weekend, if anyone watched that match. I really think they'll find a spot for Braden Sire. Like I said, absolutely blew it up. He was a project coming in. He was seen as a reach by a lot of talent evaluators, having never played TAC footy. But yeah, no Dream Team tons, only the one SC ton. But I really think coming into his... next year will be his fourth season. So he's been building his tank, was seen as that project player. So I really think next year they will find a spot for him. He hasn't done anything wrong, and he will be a good fantasy option.
What do you think his scoring power will be next year?
That's going to come down to time on ground. Like, if his time on ground's limited, like sometimes we see these inside mids do, probably capped it, you know, a 90. Like, let's be realistic. It'll be his second year. I don't think he's going to be like Clayton Oliver and go to 100.
And the next question is, I have Hanbury and Sire both in a keeper. Which one do you keep?
I definitely want to see where Hanbury went, but can you not trade Hannes?
Who wants him though?
I reckon someone to take him. I'd keep Sire. Like, that's me. I'm pretty high on him.
Why ask the question?
I'm pretty hot on him. I think he's really. There's something there. I'll put it that way. When he's there, he scores. Like, you love your points per minute statesman. When he's on the park, he's scoring points.
Cool.
So,
and who have you got there for your first Black Booker statesman?
Well, I'll move away from everyone just selecting midfielders, gentlemen. We'll actually give a bit of value in this. Now, I will say, I talked about in my introduction that I'm providing fodder for the USAC competition. So unlike some of the boys, a.k.a. Jono, not going the safe option, I'm taking the risky punt here on two. But there is actually good reason, and there's a bit of information based on that. And seeing we brought up our great man, Billy Smets, I will tag that my theme for these two boys is that they're highly touted like Billy Smets was. So let's hope they do a little bit better than him. So first up, for Essendon is Aaron Francis. Now, everyone got a little bit excited for round 23, but the reality is he actually only scored 94. So he's got a fair way to go, but he is one of the most highly rated players from the 2015 draft, taking a pick number 6. Same draft as our Mr. Clayton Oliver, so he's got a fair bit of catching up to do. He's only actually played 10 games so far. He has been branded as highly talented, but a big issue with his tank. Now, he has been working through this issue, and the club has been patient. Heading into his fourth season, if you're doing your fourth pre-season at AFL level, you're either learnt how to work hard and build up that tank, or you're not going to deliver it at all. So I think it is time. But the biggest thing that's actually made me confident is the delisting of Brendan Goddard. Because I feel that if they weren't confident enough that Aaron Francis has learnt, developed enough, then they would have kept Brendan Goddard and given him another 12 months contract. Because if they offered it to Brendan, Brendan would have signed up. And I think they've gone, okay, the stamp is here. Aaron Francis is our next plus one. He's going to play that sweeping role in defence. And as we saw in round 23, he played that role pretty well. So I think they're ready to hand over the reins to him. His role looks tasty, and defender status makes him very valuable indeed. Although it's fair to say we don't know what type of ceiling this man's going to have. A few in that sort of defensive sweeping role have quite high ceilings, but I'm expecting an 80-plus average, and that would not surprise me at all. It could be a lot bigger, but let's go because of a USAC hanging over our heads the following week. Let's prepare for the 12-month future and just go the 80 average. And I think that's pretty handy for your defence line. And talking probably an F3, oh, sorry, a D3.
Yeah, I would imagine that there is not many players who will be more hotly debated amongst Supercoach salary cappers, because I think his game's absolutely suited for Supercoach, more so than your AFL fantasy. But he will be... Yep. Hot on everybody's lips in the preseason. What? That's a saying?
Right.
What are you shrugging? Are you kidding? God, we are never making this show like a YouTube thing. The expressions you pricks are showing, combined with the horrendousness of your faces, is
I've just never talked about another man saying he's hot on my lips.
Oh. Well, that's... for another show after hours altogether.
Where could he be?
The pate fiend over here.
Right. Well, I did actually have Aaron Francis as a Rising Star winner last year. So
wow.
In one of our shows, in our actual predictions. So
bom, bom.
Never came to fruition because I think he played, what, one or two games last year.
Well, I will say I went listening to last year's Black Bookers. I went a bit safe last year. It's probably why I'm being super critical with you, to be honest, Jono. But I actually went for Dom Sheed.
There a gale coming through. You know.
Right.
Stop moving.
Now Wellington crumbling in the background. God.
Jeez.
I think Francis is a pretty safe pick, to be honest.
I think it is. I mean, we all saw what he did. But, but speaking of safe picks, I'm going to move on to my second one, and that is Mr. James Harms himself. He, in the last 4 weeks of the home and away season, he got thrown into the midfield to play as that tagging role in the midfield. And when you get the tagging role, we notice that they stay there. They're not getting it, moving to the forward line and picking up plenty of the pill. James Harms, he can get he's one of those players who goes both ways, unlike Gary Ablett, who is just all one way. He will stop an opponent and then run with the ball as well. In the last 4 weeks, he averaged 27 possessions, 3.5 marks, and 75 tackles a match. So really enjoying what James Harms did. Scored the 7 Supercoach tons and the 5 AFL fantasy tons this year. Only playing them 4 or 5 games in the last end of the year. He will retain his forward status. Simon Goodwin loves him in the midfield. Loves him in the midfield as that, well, negating role. Did a pretty good job on Joel Selwood on Friday night. And I'm going to put the hot tip in that he will be a top 10 forward next year. We're going to probably lose Menegola as a forward. He will slide in and take that spot, averaging anywhere between 90 and 100 points next year, James Harms.
Yeah, I reckon Menegola is probably a better chance to keep forward, but...
You reckon?
Well,
I don't think he loses it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're both same as each other, but... I don't know, man. Like, I mean, yes, I'm with you. Yes, pick him. But, I mean, like, he's absolutely blown it up the last couple of months. Like, kicking goals. I don't really have any knocks on him. If he keeps forward status, I mean, wow, he is firmly in the conversation for what we would assume is an F1.
As I said, that's why he'll be a top 10 forward next year.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know. Yeah, who's forgetting him?
For me, I think it'll come down to if... Dom Tyson stays or goes.
Dom Tyson sucks.
Dom Tyson.
But the thing is, Harms kicked Petrarca out of that midfield. Petrarca was getting the run through, and then Harms was the one sitting in that forward line. Now they've swapped over, and we've noticed Petrarca's scores just plateau a little bit in those mid-80s, and Harms seems to be the beneficiary of that.
He's fine. Like he's.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. No, he's fine. Like he's. Yeah, I wouldn't forget him. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
Hard pick, Jono. Hard. That must have been taking a lot of time.
Oh, it did. Took me all week. 800 played in the AFL, and it's the only one I could land on. Ooh. Who have you got there for your second black booker, Cam?
Yeah. So another hard pick. Guys, but Anthony Miles, I know he's been around for a fair while, but and again, he's probably going to the Gold Coast or another club at the end of the year. 26, fantastic age. He's, you know, let me run you through some of these stats. So in 2014, he averaged 89, including 3 tons from his 11 games. 2015, he had 7 tons, including 134, so he's got that ceiling. And then 2016, sort of the year that Hardwick almost lost his job before he became a superstar coach, he had 8 tons from 20 games, including 4 over 110. So he's got the skills, or he's got the game to be a really good super coach or dream team mid. I think with the Suns, it's probably a bit of a, you know, misnomer to think that they're settled or competitive at all as a midfield unit. And so I think he'll walk straight in and, you know, should be a ripper. Keep an eye on him.
Yeah, in the kneeful, because Barlow doesn't like big inside mids.
This is my problem. Like, I don't understand it. Like, I see both sides. Like, why would he go there to play seconds football? I don't think he would. But I don't see him displacing some of the guys they've got there. That's where I'm scratching my head about Anthony Miles.
I look at it this way. My concern is that as soon as Richmond got good, he disappeared from the landscape. But wasn't this where Sydney became a really good club? They could identify those players within a good system that just wasn't getting enough opportunities. Josh Kennedy wasn't getting many opportunities at Hawthorn. That's how Josh Kennedy became a premiership player and an AFL captain. So I see some opportunities here, but he's a little bit like George Haaland-Smith, where I could see him on the AFL wasteland as much as I could actually see him reviving his career. And to be honest, I hope both of them revive their career because they're great players. But whether a club gives them the right opportunity or not is questionable.
Why would you give... This is my issue. Why would you give matches to a 26-year-old Anthony Miles over a 22-year-old Tuk Miller who you drafted? Like, I don't understand that. Or, you know, the next guy I'm going to talk about, like, you're squeezing him out, like, effectively. Like, I find it strange.
See, I go through their list.
I think... Yeah, sorry, Cam. I actually generally think the push for them to get some senior bodies around them is correct, true, and it will happen in some way, shape or form. But isn't it interesting that they pushed that the last couple of years and brought in some senior bods, had them there on the list but didn't use them? That's the interesting part.
Well,
yeah, it's a good point.
They need good users and of the ball because they can win a clearance. They need good users of the ball, so I don't know.
See, for me, I just look at their list, right, and I see Jesse Lonergan, Ben Ainsworth, I agree with Tuk Miller, Calamachi, though. There's a lot there that generally play, you know, Sean Lemons. Yeah. There's a lot there that they can basically, that will not make the first team over Anthony Miles, in my opinion.
Yep. I reckon you're talking Anthony Miles versus Jared Lyons. That would be the decision for them on selection night.
Oh, please be Anthony Miles so I can look Jono in the eye.
That'll be the decision. That'll be the decision.
Thanks for Lockie Neal, Jono.
That's all right. He'll be looking good in Brisbane colours next year.
Anyway, my next
moving player, on, Steve.
Yeah, my next player is Will Brody. So continuing on that Gold Coast theme, people may have forgotten Will Brody existed. With Jack Bowes finishing the absolute hotness to the season for the Suns. He did get injured in round 21, so missed the last couple of matches, Will Brody, but top 10 pick a couple of years ago, 6'2", inside mid, and when he gets midfield time, trust me, he gets midfield time. How about these centre bounce attended percentages? So in round 17, attended 74% of centre bounces. Round 18, 87%. Round 19, 80%. Round 20, 76% of centre bounces. They are ruckman-like numbers, okay? They are invested in Will Brody. He's only played the 10 games. I'm just saying, don't forget about him. When he the last round 18, 19, 20, 27 possessions, 23 possessions, tackles. He is in there all the time. And I will say he hasn't shown the big ceiling yet. His top scores are 91 Dream Team and 95 Supercoach. But you're talking about a top 10 pick who's coming into his third season. We know the third season is often where players put it together. And this is probably why I have a little bit of a hard time with Cam's selection. Not to dispute you, because I think, yes, they're players we should not forget about. But I've been charting the Suns, and it is Tuk Miller, David Swallow, Jared Lyons, Will Brody, and you can rotate your others through there. That is your midfield, essentially. I don't see who out of that crop goes. Like, they're obviously trying to rebuild a culture. Maybe Anthony Miles is part of that. I don't know. But I find it hard to believe that Tuk Miller's a high-character guy, allegedly. David Swallow's can maybe play another role, but these guys seem limited in their capacity to play other roles. I'm big on Will Brody as a player to watch over the preseason and see how his role develops. But yes, if those other players go to the Gold Coast Suns, bad times for fantasy coaches, I think.
Steve, you've been watching a lot of the Gold Coast, and you've actually said to me just when we're down at the pub that you've been reviewing their season. Do you think Stewie Dew's doing a hard reset? I mean, you just said Will Brody's third year, haven't quite seen the scores yet, and maybe in those last few rounds, you just, right, this is my midfield group, going to build the team around that. That's the way it's going to be going forward, where he's going to instill that Hawthorn-Sydney culture, and we're going to see those scores potentially in the next year or two over a hard preseason.
Yeah, I really... It's really interesting because Tuk Miller's the guy who can actually play a couple of different roles, but he has to be a midfielder. Jared Lyons is the guy I'd really be concerned about in terms of being out of the team. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but he to me is a bit of he got dropped twice during this year. Like that tells you all you need to know. But we know David Swallow had a couple of nicks at the end of the year with the concussion. I see Brody as being the guy. They're just the chips are in. Sometimes I think you know the chips are in on a player 6'2" mid. Like he's a big big man and. And he can certainly play that role, so I don't see him going anywhere. But maybe the other pieces. I know David Swallow has played off halfback before, but I don't like. To me, he's going to be one of those guys who's in there a good chunk of the time, maybe outside a good chunk of the time. But you know, Ben Ainsworth does get play through there. He's a, like, remember they had four top 10 picks a couple of years
and
ago,
then some. And
four,
then some.
Four in the top 10. So I don't know.
Mm. Statesman, what have you got there for your last?
Yeah, last one, a third-year player coming through, highly talented and a ball magnet as a junior and also showed his class at the national championships when in his under-18 year and was rated as a top 10 draft pick, but being an academy player, he slipped through to pick number 14 in the 2016 national draft. And that's Harry Perryman of the Greater Western Sydney. He does play midfield in the NEAFL, and this is the key to this. If you're developing a player and you see him as a defender, you're playing him as a defender in the twos. But since day one, this man as an 18-year-old started his actual career at the AFL as a midfielder in the NEAFL. And it was only his seventh game is where he racked up his first 40 possession game. We're talking a clearance beast as well, so he can play in inside and outside, and he's racked up 12 centre clearances as a season top in 2017 and got that up to 15 in 2018. But he's actually been stuck in defence at AFL level, as we've even seen him play during the finals this year already. And it's obviously due to the quality of midfielders they have in the Giants, and we all know that list of names. And the biggest reason why I think him and Jacob Hopper were going to have a lift in 2018, not only is both these boys coming through to their third and fourth season respectively, but GWS reportedly, I don't know the details myself, but reportedly need to lose $1 million out of their salary cap heading into 2019. Mm. So this is why there's been a lot of talk about where Dylan Shiel is going. But $1 million is a lot, because you could imagine how many players have just about to renegotiate or have got that scaling model where their system or their deal is back-ended where they actually increase. That is a fair whack. So it might be two or three players of somewhat quality that actually need to leave. And we've been seeing that over the years, and that's why Chalor, Miles, who we've talked about before, is another one of those quality midfielders. So another couple needs to go, and I think that's where Jacob Hopper and Harry Perryman are actually going to get their big lifts from. Now, what we need to understand, if Harry Perryman was at any other club, especially a club like Carlton, that he would have had a stack of midfield time already. So he's another gun waiting to come. We all remember lunch meet, don't we? All stuck on the half-forward flank and all of a sudden goes to another club and stuck in the midfield. So I don't know whether he will be one of those that move on to greater opportunities at other clubs or other people taking the opportunity that brings him into it. This guy's a ball magnet. It is a punt taking when's the year going to happen and when's the right opportunities. But if we look at Tim Taranto, we're talking a 60 average to a 90 average. It's the type of thing that's going to happen to Harry Perryman.
If Perryman stays and he's still playing defence, what happens when Satterfield comes back this year? Well, he's been off with the ACL. Will he get in the one? That's the other question, I suppose. But
it's the biggest dramas that we actually have with the GWS players. They've got so much top-end high quality It's going to be interesting to see which ones get the positional play, which ones get the midfielders. But as you've seen, injuries hit. This man's going to be a defender for the next year or two in all the structures that we've got. But there's going to be one time where he's listed as a defender and playing as a midfielder, and we know that's damn exciting. Look at Elliot Yeo.
Yeah, I look at their team and they got just crippled by injuries this year, and he didn't get a gig. Like, to me, that's a worry. Like, you know, giving the Boner a go and Matt DeBoer's getting all the play in the world and Daniels and, you know what I mean? Like, I know they have different positions, but surely with all the injuries they had this year, you would have gotten a gig.
Oh, he did get gigs, and he did get plenty of game time. What he didn't get was a lot of midfield rotations, although that's where he's playing in his breeding ground. So I think you'll see that he'll get more and more. He's played 16 games in his first two seasons. I can see that quite easily being a starting 22 next year, a game heading into his third season. The thing is, when you've got a lot of quality, how do you manage it? That's going to be the drama. But I'm banking on a bit of this, that they're going to lose a bit of quality at the end of the year as well.
They've still got Tom Scully coming back.
Absolutely.
Jeez, they got crippled by injury this year, didn't they? Again, like last year.
How good did Zach Williams look like on Saturday?
Oh, man, I'm thanking Christ I didn't trade him. That's all I'm saying.
It's unreal.
Look good.
Moving on now, we do have some questions from the listeners out there. Kicking off from James Daniel on Facebook. He asked, which player is to have the biggest drop? So from like 100 down to 80 average next year, do you think?
Without notice, that's an interesting question. Harms.
I actually had a couple. I thought this was really hard because you're talking essentially a premium player going to basically unrosterable. So I thought this was a really tricky question. I did have a couple of candidates. Ed Curno would be my first one, who averaged 100 again.
Yeah.
I loved Ed Curno coming into the year, but we've seen him drop back to the 88 from coming off 100 average, so possible. I think Rory Laird's going to have a big drop next year. I don't think he's going to repeat that 107. Whether he averaged...
Brody?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that Brody?
Okay. Yeah, part of it, and also Malira. Like, they've got some more options down at halfback. Plus, I also think what he did through the first half of this year, I think it's really unsustainable and really outlierish.
Gary Ablett.
No.
So I'm gonna load up here and say Gary Ablett.
I still had a couple. That could happen if they shoved him forward. I think Andrew Gaff, if he went to a new team, he's had the 110 average this year. If he went back to like a 95, if he switched over to North Melbourne, that wouldn't blow me away. And the other one, and this might be a bit rough, but Sam Doherty averaged 110 last time he played.
Yep. Yeah.
I think we all called that coming off the knee that was going to take the bump. But, hey, his old pal Cade Simpson's going around for his 470th season. So the old 1-2 handballs are back in vogue maybe next year.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be shocked if Sam Doherty went into the midfield. Last time he played, they had Bryce Gibbs. And, mate, they got nothing at the moment.
Well, they did roll him through there in about half a dozen or so games.
They sure did. Before.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Bryce Gibbs, he's one for me to drop off by 10. He's getting a bit long in the tooth. He'll be 30 next year. They started playing him in the forward line a little bit more this year. He's probably going to see more of it next year. And they were more competitive when he was there. So probably drop by 10.
And I say Steph Martin, 15 games, average of 80.
80.
Yeah, Big Mac and Ernie will take the number one role, you reckon?
He sneezes 80.
In about maybe 8 games this year.
Oh, God. You are pissed.
Moving to... Not yet.
Not you.
Oh.
Number 3.
Moving on to the Twitter questions. TWR412 asks, is Newman back in vogue in keeper calculations? And also, if you could keep one of Chera, Ahern, or Rowan Marshall, Who would it be in a 14-team, 15-keeper league?
I think it's really hard not to keep Ahern in that situation whilst I like all the players. Unless, let's say, Lachie Neale left, I might roll the dice on Chera. But I think Andrew Brayshaw is the guy there. Nick Newman, very interesting. I think you're talking about another player who could get a drop-off next year with Jake Lloyd. Splits weren't as good with Callum Mills in the side.
Yep.
But Nick Newman, I find it hard to believe. I find it really hard to swallow him as a keeper.
Could they move him on to another club where he gets a bump, Nick Newman?
Yeah, he's out of contract.
No, I don't think he looked good at the second half of the year, to be honest.
And also getting kicked in the face by Toby Green doesn't help either.
It's tough.
Knock a bit of sense into him.
And I wouldn't keep, and I'll just touch on Rowan Marshall because I really liked him and I thought he had some really good games at the end of the year, but just that hybrid ruck forward, you don't know what Sid Kilda are going to do with their rucks or their forwards. So he's
got four of them.
It's tough. So I'd probably pass on him. Just love his game. Love his game, though.
I wouldn't keep any St Kilda ruckman, to be honest, because who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
And reportedly was after Lysett, so what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, now it's...
Actually, there is a player who could dump. Justin Westhoff. If they bring in Lysett, because he played in the ruck and killed it in the ruck at times last year. Outlier year by a mile.
Yeah.
Next question comes from AJS Hawker Draft. He's starting up a keeper league next year, and he just wants to know what is the best platform to do it, and is there another platform other than Ultimate Footy? And while doing that keeper league, he's got a 12-man 5-7-1-5 competition. What's generally the standard number to keep there, Statesman?
10 to 12. Look, it all depends whether you've got a keeper league or a dynasty league. That's what it boils down to. But format's interesting. It's a debate at the moment because none of them have all the right tools that you want. I do believe they're certainly discussing it at AFL Fantasy. I'd love to see that because their model was a little bit more flexible. But they will need to have different options with regarding the ruck and the structure of size of the competition, etc. But it's personal choice, to be honest. Most of us are using Ultimate at the moment. Hopefully they spend a bit more time and money in developing the better platform.
The bench is used by some leagues. I don't use it. We don't use it, but the bench would be one to consider.
Would it be something to put towards the league and just work out what the best format and platform to go forward is, or just up to the commissioner?
Absolutely.
Well, Jono, Supercoach has keepers, so being the preferential scoring format of our league of record.
Well, wait till we get the BBL Keeper League happening this year.
Oh, God.
From Arlen Kessler on Twitter asks, is Reece Matheson ever going to be fantasy relevant? And what do we see Jaden Stephenson doing next year?
Playing for Collingwood for the second part. And Reece Matheson, a little bit unsure. I mean, I think he's a role player. But if they get Lachie Neale, it just puts him further down the list, doesn't it?
I think he's just depth player now. Absolutely. And Stephenson, I'm not too sure what he averaged this year, but something similar, maybe.
It's tough to score as a small forward or general forward.
He's a better player than a fantasy player right now.
He's a Luke Bruce. He'll be a Luke Bruce, but not with the ceiling that he had this year.
Man, Luke Bruce. Not this year. Fire this year.
He was ham, but he's Luke Bruce. It'll be that 80-ish averaging year, I think. From DT_GB. Do you think Robinson, and I'm going to assume it's Mitch Robinson and Heaney, lose their DPP next year? And how is Matt Kennedy's development coming along? Do you think he'll ever be fantasy relevant?
Slowly, yes, he will for the last part of that. Heaney will keep his forward status. Unsure about Mitch Robinson. Seriously, didn't look at him closely, and I wouldn't have thought so.
I can't see on the second part, Matt Kennedy, I don't know, he burnt me a couple of times this year. His body burnt him a couple of times this year. And what is he now? He's 22. I wouldn't hold your breath for Matt Kennedy, in my opinion.
Wait and see. And the final question from Sandman14 asks, why can't he win a main draft star and main competition? And please don't answer that he's shit. Steve, you're the draft star man on the pod here.
Yeah, and that's saying not a lot. I would say that other people have better models than you, and we don't talk much DFS. We sort of asked people if they wanted DFS content, and everyone said no, they didn't want DFS content, so we don't talk about it. But if you're trying to win the main event, just remember there are players who are entering like $1,000 worth of lineups in a $15 team event. So they've got a hell of a lot more variance than you. They have better models than you. If you're putting in, say, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 teams in the $15 to try win the main, my suggestion would be to drop that and just put 10 teams in the $2 10-team max and see how you go through there. Try work out strategies and see if you can work out a system that works for you, whether it's trying to be even, whether it's stars and scrubs. But I'd certainly try my hand at the $2 event. That's what I've been doing this year, just trying to work my craft a little bit before I lose my money to the big guns.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, that does wrap up the show for this week. Steve, the greatest movie ever to be made is dropping this week, and that is Predator.
Get around it.
I have seen a couple of reviews, people giving it 6.5, 6s. I don't care.
Out of 5.
It looks like a 10 to me.
Out of 5.
That is true. They're talking about character development and all this crap. I don't care about character development in Predator movies.
Does a spine get ripped out? That's what I'm here for.
That's what they'll criticize in the movie, about character development. That's I don't give a
fucking Predator movie.
Exactly right.
Character development? Can I see his insides at any point in the movie?
Be the 3 laser dots and the snarl?
Yeah, that's the snarl. That's it. That's all I need. That's
it. See, I'm just really keen on the Russian doll aspect of this Predator movie with the super Predator and the baby normal Predator. You know?
John, man, I can't wait, John. I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped. You're an even bigger Predator fan than I am, so that's...
Pretty sure it's Thursday, whatever the 13th is. So
yeah.
I think that's Thursday. So that does wrap up the show for this week. If you do have any questions over the preseason, you can hit us up on the Twitter at the Draft Doctors and ask us on the Facebook as well. Search the Draft Doctors there. If you've got anything Predator related, we'd really much appreciate it. And what is it? You Suck next week. Looking forward to that one.
I've been working on it, and there is actually
more
not
content than we thought.
Nah, actually, we weren't too bad, unfortunately. Yeah, I know. It sucks. We were actually not bad this year. So I will say someone did say, don't draft Brody Grundy. He was going to screw you. So
was it me?
No.
Well, you have to listen and find out. No, you've got more heinous things than that. Pate.
Oh, that's okay.
Pate is a top 5 savory snack. Jesus.
Mate, if you're going to pick on me because I like pate, then you've got a real issue. We need to work on our content for the You Suck show if it's coming back to pate.
Pate is a bit shit, though, isn't it?
Pate is a hot topic in the social media trends world at the moment, I think.
And pate.
Hey, look, I looked at my Twitter feed today and it was just chock full of tennis. And I went, what is going on in the world?
Because Serena got the wrong pate, that's why.
So I'm like, tennis, pate.
That's how important pate is.
They go hand in hand.
Look what happens.
They go hand in hand. We got to get out of here. This is terrible.
We do.
This is bad content.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.